I'm sure you all came with your Bibles, right? So you don't need the Bible on the screen. I'm sure you all came with the Bibles. All right, the Lord is good. Before I start teaching, I just want to first of all greet everybody and welcome everybody that has come for this meeting this morning. First of all, tell your neighbor you are very wise.
Very wise.
Don't somebody beside you say you are very wise. Yeah, that is wisdom, all right, for you to take time out to come and learn. Like Pastor Maxwell was saying, it's not keys to simple ministry, it's effective. That's what we are talking about. The Lord is good. All right, and then also let me greet Pastor Max's daddy. I got to know him, so I have to greet him like that. So pleased to meet you again, sir. And you look so young, I don't know who's older, me or you. All right, he looks really, really good. In fact, somebody saw the poster. Say, is that his brother or his father? So in Casa this morning, says the power of grace. All right, the Lord is good. All right, so Pastor Max, God bless you. Thank you for this invitation. I don't take it lightly for the opportunity to share the word of God. Let's bow down our heads and just say a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you. You're already here. Holy Spirit, you are here. You enlighten our hearts. Thank you for the word that you have placed in my spirit and in my mouth this morning for your people. Let no one here live the same in the name of Jesus. These words will not stand against anybody in the day of judgment, but there will be a reason why God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I have two topics according to our schedule this morning. I will try and take them separately, but it's inevitable that I will mix them up thoroughly, although I will try. All right? The first one is how to run ministry successfully, and then the second one is financing the ministry. So they go together, just that we need to address some issues on the second one. Let me first start saying that it's not like I'm qualified to take these topics. What I mean is that by virtue of my own understanding and experience, just that somebody has to do it. So the person has to open his heart and allow God to speak through him. So I'm going to share what I have learned and what I'm practicing and what I'm hoping will make me a successful minister. I'm not yet one. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. And that's not humility. That's fact. All right? That's fact. The reason is that you cannot be said to be successful until you have done everything that you're supposed to do. Are you getting my point? So that is fact. That's why we have to continue pursuing. That's why we have to continue working. That's why we have to continue learning. We can never rest. We can never say, I have done this. There is a principle that Lord Jesus taught the disciples, which unfortunately very common in today's Christianity, the opposite is being taught and practiced. What is that principle? He explained to them they must never, ever, listen to this, that they must never, ever come to the Lord and say, I have done well, I'm supposed to receive a reward. He said, the disciples of Christ are not allowed to do that. That the word slave, you know, when I began to learn the word of faith, it was taught to us and emphasized that we are sons and we are not servants, all right? Now, we are sons, somebody say amen. But it's not true that we are not servants. We are sons of God, but we are also servants. And the word servant in the Bible is not the way you and I look at servant today. The proper word for servant in the Bible is bond slave. Bond slave. That is a slave that has chosen, that has refused freedom and has decided to be bound to the master permanently. That's what we are. Are you getting my point? So let nobody tell you that you are not a servant of God, you are a son. You are a son, that is true. But there are two kinds of sons you find in the Bible. You're either a serving son or a prodigal son. That is a matter of fact. The way God did it is this. Anytime you receive the scriptures and God gives you two things, two people, all right? For example, you hear Esau and Jacob, all right? Cain and Abel, stuff like that. What he's saying in effect is that you have to be one or the other. If the Lord Jesus said a man had two sons, it means every child of God is one of those two sons. He said one, let's summarize it, was a prodigal son and the other was a serving son. Any son that does not serve automatically becomes prodigal. That's the way life is. You can't choose to be a neutral son. You're either a serving son or a prodigal son. And if you go and read that book of Malachi, he said that I will spare them like a man spares his own son that serves him. So you have sons that serve. It's not just that we are sons alone. No. We are sons that serve. Or he said, Timothy has served. Paul was speaking. He has served with me in the course of this gospel as a son serves his father. Are you getting my point? I want us to get that clear. We are not just children of God or sons of God. We are sons and servants. And those are the superior kinds of servants, because there are other kinds of servants. They are what the Bible calls hirelings. They don't care. And God can use anybody. There is nobody God does not use. Once you are alive, God is using you. It's what he's using you for that's the issue. I don't know whether you get my point here. He said God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked for his role in the day of destruction. That's just the principle of God. So God is using everybody. But there's what they call hirelings. Hirelings are those who don't love the sheep. Hirelings are those who don't care. They just do what they do for what they're going to get out of it. All right? They're also serving God, in quotes. But then there are sons. Sons serve because they say, this is my property. I am going to inherit it. They serve with a dedication, all right, that shows that they have a principle of ownership working in their hearts. Those are the two kinds of servants you also have. So you have hirelings and you have true shepherds. The true shepherds are the sons that serve. I'm saying all of this to emphasize something here. That you see, as Christians, we are not only sons, we are also what? Servants. And Jesus taught us how to behave as servants or born slaves. That we are never to think, that's where I began all of this from, that we have done something for which we'll be rewarded. It's very common in Christianity, and I like to always drop it everywhere I go. People say, give, and then when you have finished giving, when you want to pray, you show God what you have given. You show God, this is my tithe booklet. This is the stubs of the offerings I have given to you, so you will bless me back. That is how to die early. That's how to be frustrated in life. Okay? Anytime you want to ask God for something, you must always go with a spirit of humility, believing that you have not yet done enough, and whatever it is that you are getting is just purely grace. I hope you are getting the principle I'm trying to say here. Bear that in mind. So why am I saying all of these things? So nobody can say I have succeeded in life until life is about to come to an end. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Whatever it is that you have done, Jesus said, this is the principle. You will say to the master, what more do I have to do? That what I have done is all that is just, he said, the word he used in King James is this, we are unprofitable servants. What it means by unprofitable is that we have not yet done everything. What we have done is not as if we have done anything extra. You know, somebody calculated for me the other day how much it costs. If the doctors were the ones supposed to supply you oxygen while you are breathing free now, you probably are paying 7 million naira a minute or so, or a day, but you get it free. So we look at it that we're always indebted to God. So we never come to him thinking that we have done so much. I'm trying to explain the issue of what is success. I'm going to explain that in a moment. But don't ever get to a point in life you think you have succeeded. Why can't you say that? Because there's always something in front for you to do. That's the point I'm making. And you must keep your eyes on that, not on the ones that's behind. So Paul said it like this. He said, I keep on looking ahead. I forget the things that are behind. Many things are behind. The past is behind. The bad things are behind. But also the successes are behind. Are you getting my point? The successes are behind. The things that you did and that was effective is behind. Look at somebody like Elijah. Elijah did very well, if you think about it. He personally, single-handedly faced all the prophets of Baal. All right? Only him. They were sacrificing on one end. He was on the other end. Let's make a long story short because we don't have all the time. At the end of the day, what happened? He won. He stood at risk to his life against all those people. Call fire from heaven. This fool could have used magic to call fire, you know, a trick. But he said, this fire will not fall. He was standing there, that I'm the prophet of God. He risked his life. When it was time for his own fire to fall, he said, let's be sure it's the fire of God. He poured water everywhere. The water that was scarce, he said, waste it. Pour it everywhere. Just that we will know this is the fire of God. And then fire fell. Success. Somebody say success. All right. What's the next thing? They said, Jezebel is looking for you. The man ran away. Is that still success? That's failure. He ran away. Success just a while ago. Next year, the Jezebel is looking for him. He disappeared. And part of the reason why he disappeared was, I think the pride got to his head. God, I'm the only one standing. Everybody else has fallen. So I said, after that, God replaced him. So when you go back, anoint Elisha to replace you. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. So you see, the success is also behind. It's not in front. So Paul said, I must forget all the things that are what? that are behind. These are just the principles. I'm just trying to establish something. Nobody can say he has succeeded. I definitely do not qualify for that, all right? So let's learn some of these things, okay? How to run ministry successfully. Like I said, we're just going to examine the scriptures. We're examining the word of God, what I have learned, what I am learning, what I'm practicing, what I'm improving upon. That is what I want to share with you. Let us start, first of all, by examining what real success is. How to run ministry successfully. What is success in ministry? The easiest way for me to explain what success in ministry is to explain what success in ministry is not. Before we read, I have two scriptures here I want us to read. We'll read it in a moment, but let me just make some statements. What is success in ministry? First, it is very hard for anybody to stand outside and judge somebody else's success in ministry. I hear people say it sometimes. Now, please, I'm going to make some statements. You have to understand that I have all due respect in my heart. I don't mean any negative. Even if I mention names, I will not mention them in a negative fashion. But sometimes you look as if I'm looking down on a man of God, but I'm not. I'm telling the fact about it. Sometimes I hear people preach, all right, and say, success in ministry. Some people like Pastor E. Adeboye, look at what they have done for God. Let me just say something for you. It's a meaningless statement. You are not his God. You can't judge what he has done. You don't know how to judge it. God may be looking at the man and say, this boy, I'm going to kill him one day. It's his God. It doesn't concern you. I know a man in this our country, all right? Man of God, all right? One of those great men, I won't mention, no, you can't even guess. Once I met a man, all right, who is his contemporary, age-wise, all right? Both of them, incidentally, both the man who spoke with me and the other pastor, they've all died now. They've all gone home to heaven. Both of them good Christians, of course. So I met this man as an old man. We're just talking. You know, he's been an old Christian. Look, if you ever get the opportunity to meet an old Christian, sit down there and shut up and listen. Don't try to introduce yourself. Oh, God. Are you sure I have enough time? Because I have so many things to say. Don't introduce yourself. I am Pastor This. We have 17 branches. Don't say anything. One day, a young girl called me one day. I was supposed to help her with something. He said, hello, I am Pastor. The moment she used the title Pastor, I wrote her off. I'm not your mate. Really? I'm not your mate. By the time I left university, you were still walking around naked. You shouldn't be calling me and be throwing title in front of me. What because they make you a pastor on campus. I left university in 1991. I was a fellowship president on campus. I've been preaching the gospel since. I didn't backslide for one day. At least the way I think about backsliding. God knows what I really did or I did not. And he said, let one little girl like this, and you call me on the phone. Hello, I am Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, who made you Pastor Jim? If I slap you, all this anointing will disappear. You go humbly. That's another thing. You see an old Christian, just relax, chill. What's your name? I'm junior brother. Remove the brother, so let it not be too big. Because you learn a lot like that. This man was not a preacher, but he's been a Christian for a very long time. He will tell you stories. You mention one church. You say, I don't know why they behave like that. But they built up in poverty. He will talk like that. He said, I went to this particular church the other day. Today, he's not a preacher. He's a professional. He retired as a professor. All right? But he's been a Christian since he was a little boy. Been through all the moves in his time. At the end of the day, he said something. Let me not get all the detail or give you all the detail of things we talked about. But he mentioned something, which I'm talking about it. He mentioned one great man of God in Nigeria, white man, also has died now, who affected many of these our great preachers of today. And he said, when this other man opened his church, the man said to us, he just walked out of the plan of God for his life. This is an old man talking. Was in his 80s when we were speaking. He said, this other man, he said that day, this man said, this man has just left what God called him to do. Yet, he built a massive church. Are you getting my point? And all of us will be looking and pointing. So, I'm trying to say, you cannot point. You can't judge anybody. You can't say, you see, people like Pastor Yedeboye, people like David Oyedepo, people like Umaopai, you're mentioning them and you're looking at them up like that. You can't. It is between them and their God. And their Lord. Their master. It's between them and the Lord of the harvest. You can't judge. A friend of mine was a pastor in Redeem. He said they used to teach them that, you see, people like Iyadibo, they have mansion in heaven. I said, whoever says that, my wife has told me not to be using bad words, so let me try and be cool. Whoever says that is absolutely ignorant. You can't tell. You don't, result, what we call result, you don't know how they come. What I mean is this. There's one man I was watching one day on TV. Was I listening to him or watching him preach? He said one day they invited him to preach. And he sat down, because he traveled from maybe another country, so he was really tired, jet lagged and everything. So he sat down while they were doing the preliminaries. So when he was sitting, he fell asleep. So everybody assumed that he's a man of God, must be in the spirit. He said, I was sleeping. And then suddenly, he heard his name as they were introducing him. So he woke up. He did everything they said before that point, he did not know. But then he just woke up. And as he got up to come collect the microphone, everybody sitting around him fell under the power of God. He just got up. He was asleep. Those who don't know, watching on this, I say, man, the man was incubating, washing the spirit. He said, I fell asleep because I was too tired. He said, yet when he got up, the power of God fell upon everybody in that area and they went on the floor. He was trying to say that it was not anything that I did, though. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Paul said like this, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. What you see is the increase that God gives. You cannot ascribe it to any man's work. There are things, you know, I those days we used to go, we learn principles of church growth. Church growth. And we used to think, Yonggi Cho had a method for church growth. After I began ministry, after some years, I realized there is a lie. You don't understand church growth. Nobody does. You have a church of 1 million people, does not mean at all you know how to grow churches. Why? Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. The increase is a gift. The increase is a gift. It's a gift somebody gave. So people think that there's a technique for growing a 1 million man church. They've learned everything. Nobody can crack it. Once you leave Korea, it doesn't exist anywhere else. And Yonggi-cho will let you know. He was not the one that even planted all of that. Go and hear the stories of assemblies of God. Long before he was born, they were there tilling the ground. They were there tilling the ground spiritually. They were there tilling the ground. They did all the work. Then one day he came and said, praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord. Everybody came to listen. Jesus can bless you. Ah, more people came to listen. And you now tell me he knows the principle of church growth. If the assemblies of God, I'm figuratively speaking now, if they were not there for decades tilling the ground for you, learn all the principle from now till tomorrow, you will not grow that size of a church. That's why Jesus said, other men labored, you have not entered. The people, look, let me tell you, this building was built by Catholics, right? Be very careful when you judge people and criticize. You may disagree with a lot of their doctrine and everything, but I'll tell you one thing you bear in mind. Many of you go to villages and say Jesus is Lord. You didn't ask yourself, who told the villagers who Jesus is? You think it's you? The name is not new to them in Nigeria. One reverend sister that came there 50 years ago and died and did not give anybody give the life to Christ. She told them Bible story, Christmas story. They grew up with the knowledge that there's somebody called Jesus. He has a mother, Mary. And you now come later and try to explain that Jesus is the Lord, not Mary. But the introduction of that personality, the reverend sister did it 50 years before you were born. Other men labored. I'm trying to tell you what success is not. You can't count numbers. People say things like, you have to tell God all the souls that you save when you get to heaven. Naked you came, alone you are going back. Are you getting my point? All the souls are not following you. Each man kills up one by one the day of judgment. People are not judged by the number of souls they won. They are judged by the amount of faithfulness they demonstrated to what God told them to do. Because Isaiah preached and preached and preached. Isaiah preached and preached and preached. At the point that he was frustrated. You know why? He said, I have labored in vain and for vanity. Because nobody believed him. If you want to talk about success, Isaiah was a thorough failure, the way we judge it. Jeremiah was a very horrible failure. And why did Isaiah fail, according to our own judgment? It was because the first assignment God gave him was simple. Go and deaden the ears of these people. Render their hearts dull. Say to them, hear, but don't understand. See, don't perceive. That is, his first assignment is that nobody will believe me. As the man began to preach, he knew nobody would hear. Because God said, no, I don't want them to hear. I don't want to forgive them. Because if they hear and they believe, they may just repent. And if they repent now, now forgive them. Who wants to forgive them? I don't want to forgive them. I'm not in the forgiving mood at all. So if you want to judge it, it was a failure. Jeremiah, the same thing. Jeremiah's failure was even worse. You don't realize what God did to some of those prophets. We look at John the Baptist. He was eating locusts and wild honey and wearing sackcloth, goat skin. At least he was wearing something. Go and read the story of Jeremiah. There are times he walked around naked. Sometimes the duration of time is unbelievable, so I can't say it. They didn't interpret it wrongly. This man will walk around naked for this length of time. The man will go, he will put cloth on his head and he's naked. He said, why are you going? He said, thus says the Lord, this is how all of you will be led out naked by the Babylonians. And he is bought naked. Ministry. No chariot to say, let's bless the man of God with chariot. No chariot. So wipe this thing away from your minds of what they call success in ministry. Your car, the size of your church building, your personal house, all these things do not in any way explain whether you are successful or you are failing. Some of them are signs of failure. For every extra car you buy, is an extra zero in front of your failure. Yeah, some of them are signs of failure. Some of them are signs of being earthly minded. I will say that, look, as a Christian, you have something to show for it. Forget that thing. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. He said there were men that they were wandering around in caves. He said men of which the world was not worthy. Yeah, they were wandering around in caves. I'm teaching a series in Enugu, began it last week, titled The Purpose and the Pursuit and the Purpose of Faith. If you read through the scriptures, you will find out what God used to say we should use faith for. Go and study Hebrews chapter 11. Let me not teach it now. Just go and study and see what each person did with faith. By faith, they were sown asunder. That is, were it not for his faith, he would have survived. By faith, they refused deliverance. By faith, they left the palace. Yeah. By faith, they were wandering around as aliens. By faith. That is, every time they pitch a tent and build an altar, they say it's testimony that our city is not in this world. Let's explain, understand what success is. Success is not in the number of people in your church. One of the words you must wipe away from your brain as a preacher is any word that ends with EST. Biggest, fastest, largest. Once you find those words, wipe it away. Are you getting my point? Once all those comparative sentences, we are the fastest growing church in Nigeria, the largest congregation in West Africa. The biggest, we have the largest choir, the best orchestra. Listen to me, go and read what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea. He said, you have everything, but this is my judgment. You are poor, you are wretched, you are blind, you are naked. You know what I've said? All those outside things, they are not signs of success in ministry at all. They are not the sign of success in ministry at all. They are not the sign of success in ministry at all. The other day I was thinking about it. If I wrote it to, that's when I, just before I came up, I brought up my phone just now. I was looking for something. That's what I was looking for. I sent it to my brethren. What Paul calls success in ministry and what we call success in ministry. Please, let me have that phone again. Let me just read out, because I want to save time. Let me just read it out. I just wrote this. I was thinking about it. What is proof of ministry? Modern proof of ministry. See our church building. See the many branches. See the crowd. See pastors' cars. Emphasis S, cars. See our bishop's house. See how people are falling under the power. Look at TV ministry, television everywhere. We're on every channel in Nigeria internationally. Look at all of these things. Ministry is moving. But what did Paul say? You can pick this from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 6. Paul said, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. How? We patiently endure trouble and hardship and calamities of every kind. So that's a sign that we are true ministers. Our ability to endure wahala. He said we have been beaten. And these are signs that we are ministers. Though. Go and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said these are signs that we are true ministers. We have been beaten. We have been put in prison. We faced angry mobs. We walked to exhaustion. Endured sleepless nights. And we went without food. In all of this, we proved ourselves as true ministers by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, and by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. So that's a sign that I'm a true preacher. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I just read from. So let's get that clear. I had a church in Lagos wanted to open a branch somewhere. Somebody, and one person in the church said, what kind of branch is that? That branch is not viable. That the amount of money you spend in that branch, you use it to open in VI. That the returns will be good. And he wasn't joking. You know, you are laughing. He was not joking. He couldn't understand the logic. How can you go and open a branch there? How much preaching will you preach before you recoup the money you people invested? One of our brothers in Enugu the other day, he said the village in Enugu said they wanted a pastor. They approached their denomination, big Pentecostal denomination. Say, we have a church hall. We have a pastor's house. Of course, village, so it's not really exactly, it's five-bedroom duplex with jacuzzi. No, it'll just be a village house. But the house is available. The hall is available. The members are available. They are the ones that came. Say, please send us a pastor. They couldn't find anybody that would agree to go. The brother telling the story said that was the day he felt like crying that he couldn't speak Igbo. Because it's a village church, so you can't come there speaking English, really. What pained him was that he couldn't speak the language. He said he would have volunteered. Even though he was not a member of the church, he would have volunteered. He said, no problem. The only problem is that he couldn't speak the language. Yeah, people are looking for open doors. The doors are so open. The doors are all over the place open. We don't want to walk through that door. One day I saw a man, he was preaching one day. I felt like, oh God, you are confused too. Because he said one day he prayed for God to give him open door. They now invited him to come to, is it Cameroon or Kenya? And he said, God, what kind of open door is this one? Then they now invited him to come to France. He said, hey God, now you are talking. In all honesty, I'd rather go to Cameroon and Togo than to France. That's just me. France, they need the gospel, I know, they do. They also need. In fact, I was listening to David Paulson. He said, white people like to go to Africa. He said, they don't know that there are more unbelievers in UK than in Africa. So I'm not saying that there's mission film there. But what's the man looking for? Honorarium at the end of the day. That's what he's looking for. Let me really drop this. Ministry is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's not as if when I was working in the bank, I know how much I was earning. What is this money you are giving me? If you wanted the money, you should have stayed in the bank. Why do you leave the bank? Ministry is what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm trying to explain what success in ministry is not, so that we can run ministry successfully. Because people don't really, if you don't know what success is or is not, you'll be pursuing what you think is success, and for that reason, you'll be having problems. Judging in life is a special skill God needs to teach you. And the first thing he said is don't judge. That's the best way to learn it. Just leave everybody alone. Paul said, I want to really talk about this outward material success thing a bit more. Paul said, I have learned to abound. I have learned to what? Abase. Working in prosperity outwardly and working in what looks like lack or little outwardly, both of them are valid. They are right. They come in different phases. Each Christian must know how to walk in the phase that he's in at each particular point in time. Go and read Philippians chapter 4. Because of time, please, you will have to just allow me to just talk and I'll give you references. I don't have time to read them line by line. If you read Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote to those people, to the Philippians, and explained to them that I've learned to abound and I've learned to abase. I've learned how to walk in abundance and walk in little. Listen, I'm explaining something here. Both of them will happen in ministry. It is not a sign of failure. None of them is a sign of failure. None of them is a sign of success. Each one has his function. Each one has his duty. Each thing has its own phase in life. I just came from that's a few weeks ago, my alumni fellowship, our annual convention held in Benin. And the guest minister we had, he told an interesting story. And at the end of that day, you know, there are Christians who believe that you must not fly a private jet, that is bad. So anytime they see somebody flying private jet, they say, why is he flying private? I always say something to such people. I say, people who fly private jets, there are two things about them. One, they are going to private places. And two, they have private money. Let me add a third one to it, and it's none of your private business. Just lock that in your mind. Having a private jet is not a sign of success. It's not a sign of failure. It's nothing. A private jet is a vehicle. I'm preaching here now. One of the reasons why I'm preaching this morning, I'm taking my sessions continually, all right, is because I told Pastor Max that I don't wish to be absent from my preaching in Enugu today. Because I run a ministry, not a church. I'll talk about that. All right? I run a ministry, not a church. And when it's a ministry, you are your ministry. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. A man, a woman, you are the ministry. It's not the organization. So I cannot be away from my meetings too many times. People don't come there to fellowship. They came there to listen to me. That's just the way it is. Not pride. That's it. If they wanted somewhere, somebody say, hey, they'll go somewhere else. It's not. There's a difference between ministry and the church. I will talk about that. Let me just see what time I have to explain all of these things. So now, Pastor Max arranged my meetings here, my messages here, to end at a particular time so that I can get out of worry and be back in Enugu before 5. If the road is clear and you're the only one on the road, it's 4 hours. Driving. About 3.5. That is, they clear the road, so only you'll be going. It takes about 3.5 hours. As you know, they ain't going to clear the road. You will not be the only one. So you toss in another hour to accommodate other people, assuming there's no serious holdup. So that's why I have to leave as soon as I'm done and get back to Enugu. Do you think if it was Agofori, I would make it? Agofori was... I have to rush to the park and somebody, you know, wait, okay, pastor is coming here, enter here, let us go. I won't make it. The reason why there's a hope I'll make it is that I have a car which God has blessed me with for the last few years, which does not break down. And I'm trusting God it will not break down today. The only reason why I can leave my car and go upstairs immediately and start preaching is that my glass will be wound up from here till I get to Enugu. No dust shall by any means hurt me. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I trying to say? You see, the car is a tool. It's a tool. That car is not a sign of success. It's not a sign of victory. It's not a sign of anything. It's just that I need to get out of here and get to my next place of assignment. I was telling you, I came from my meeting. The prime minister who came, he said he almost missed. In fact, when he got there, it was God that just saved him money. They had canceled the flight. He said, he told them, there is a meeting in Benin I must get to. So he picked a phone and called somebody in Lagos. Say, how much will it cost? Send me a plane to come and get me out of here, down to Benin. The person said, sir, it will be expensive. He said, how much? The lady said to him, let me try and see whether we can arrange something so that you split the cost. But while he was waiting to do that Eric now said, sorry, the plane to Benin is going. So he now boarded the plane. Told that lady, forget it. He told himself that I mustn't miss this meeting. And when he came and impacted us, we're happy he didn't miss the meeting. In two sessions, he preached for 7 hours. Now, he said, what happened to him? Why did you step to that level? One day, they should come and preach in Lagos. It's in Kaduna. They said, please, you come up for our first service. I can't make it to first service. The first flight will not leave Kaduna early enough. So they begged him to come the night before. He said, I have important engagements in Kaduna. I can't leave. So next thing, his phone rang. A man called him. I am captain, so and so. I've been instructed to come and pick you up. Who are you? 419. He said, no, sir. I'm a pilot. I'm taking off from Lagos now. I'm coming to wait for you. So he's surprised. Let me make a long story short. He finished what he had to do in the evening and drove to the airport. And there was a plane waiting for only him, so that he could minister from early morning in the morning on Sunday in Lagos. It's not a sign of success. It's a tool of ministry. If you dash me one now, I will not take it. Where am I flying to? Are you getting my point? There's nowhere I'm flying to. Everywhere I go right now, I drive there. And if I have to fly there, it's only such a long distance, and it's not frequent, it's not often. I usually can make the time. I'm not, in quotes, that kind. I'm not that busy yet that I cannot spare a few hours to get to the next place. I'm just trying to explain something to us. Let's not look at all these outward things as what? Signs of success or failure. There are people that are not flying private jets, and God said that's why their ministry is not effective. And some are flying it, and God said that is why their ministry is not effective. Because the amount of money. This is how you know a man who is doing something that is not yet in the season. Because the Bible says that when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle. Alright? Crop permitting means that things are done relatively easily. So when you come and say, praise the Lord, we'll be needing 17 million. Please, how many people will give? And every day start preaching. I will build my church. Who are going to build with God? Every day. Just know you are doing what God didn't send you. The crop is not permitting. You are squeezing people's necks to fuel the jet. The crop is not permitting. I've never raised an offering to buy fuel for my car or to buy the car. The crop permitted. I hope you are getting my point. Please, I'm thinking of this, so let us know what is success and what is not success. You can't judge somebody else's matter. The man is flying private does not mean it's a failure. He's flying private does not mean it's a success. It doesn't mean anything. Just a tool for getting from one place to the other. Your own brand new car is somebody else's private jet. I hope you understand that. Yes. In fact, it's the only car. Your phone. Two of my colleagues in the office one day were discussing about phone. That new Samsung, beautiful. I'm going to get one. It's not expensive now. The price is down. I got it very low. And how much did you get it? I paid $150 for it. Now, we're just talking though. Then one woman behind me shouted, eh! That's when it dawned on me that we just took 4 months of our salary and we bought a phone. Because when she was hearing us say, I got it cheap, it's not expensive, it's just $150. Well, these guys were selling it for $160. When she heard the $150,
She didn't know when she shouted. It was a spontaneous eruption. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth screamed. For her, cheap is you bought the phone for 85. It was when she screamed, it dawned on me that this is her 4 to 5 months salary. One of us just used and bought a phone. And with any other person, I got it cheap. See, life is so difficult to judge. But my phone is a tool. I don't brag with it. Who cares? Am I trying to show you the phone I'm using? But what I do with it makes me more effective in ministry. Yes, I don't have time to discuss it now. I complete books on my phone. Because I write on Dropbox. Last time, one day we were coming from Makurdi. Two of my guys were in front. I was sitting at the back of the car. They were the ones driving. I just opened my phone. The 4 hours journey, I was editing a book. Because the book was due to come out. Were you going to transfer when you finish? No. Once I click save and I close the phone, it drops on my computer. When next time I open my computer, it just opens to where I stopped. And I continue writing. For me, it's a tool of ministry. I'm not going to buy a cheap phone. I'd rather have a good phone and one pair of trousers. Now, I have many trousers and not have a good phone. Because I know what I do with it. Yeah. Yeah. I write message. That is, I just sit down. Oh, this message is hot. I start writing there. And I click save. It shoots up to Dropbox. When I open my computer next, it's there waiting for me on my computer. I'm not going to say you can't judge somebody from outside. Those things are not success. Let's get that clear. All right? I've spent most of my time trying to disabuse of our minds of what is success. And what is not success? There's another area I should just quickly go to. Because I said I'll talk about it. Ministry versus church. Because we said we're going to talk about that. Because if you don't know what ministry is, we will not know how to make success of it. But let me read these two scriptures because it just helped me to... Okay, I've quoted one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But let's read this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let me just read it. It will help me to show us what success in ministry is. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Many years ago, I got a pamphlet, which was a transcript of the last message preached by the man, Theodore Epp. Theodore Epp was a preacher on radio, was a pastor, an itinerant preacher, and also a radio minister. Was most known in the U.S. for his radio ministry, called Back to the Bible. And what surprised me was that the man made a statement. He told the story of his life and everything. He now said, this is the last public message I'm going to preach. He was preaching to a class of graduating students. He said, after now, I will not preach again, publicly. He said, I can say like Paul, I have kept the faith, I have fought the fight, I have... How did this man talk like this? Let's make a long story short. That week, he said he wasn't feeling well, just went to hospital for a checkup. And then they said something. Let's make a long story short. By the end of the day, he was dead. A week before that, he had said, less than a week before that, that this is the last day I'm going to preach publicly. And he said, in simple terms, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. It struck me. So a few years ago, last year or so, I remember that message which I listened to, which I read in 1993. So I went and searched. I finally got the message. I was able to download it from sermonindex.com. So I downloaded the message. I have it in my archive now. And with you, they all described, just for about 40 minutes, his summary of his life. He now ended with, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was giving a charge to his son, Timothy. I was listening to a man of God. He said this was the closest to a natural child that Paul had. So he loved Timothy. So he was telling him things to do. I charge you, he said in verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and all of that, to preach the word, verse 2, to be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He said, do all of these things. Why? He now gives his reason in verse 3 and verse 4. Now, he now got to verse 5. He said, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice that expression. He said, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He said, I have fought the good fight. Now listen to this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Look over that again. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now, what was Paul saying here, in effect? Let me just stop reading here, because I'm trying to save time. He was saying it to Timothy. When a man ends his life and he will have succeeded in ministry, these are the three things you will notice. One, he will have consistently fought a good fight against the advance of the kingdom of darkness in favor of the advance of the kingdom of God. The man has a course set before him. Each person has a course set before him. He said, I have finished my own course. And in everything I did, I kept the faith. Now please, that last one I think is about the most important of them all. The keeping of the faith. There's no cause on earth that you are fighting for, or no cause that God put before you that you want to complete that should make you lose the tenacity of personal faith that you have in God. This is a sign that you have failed as a minister. No matter what you have done successfully outside, when your personal life of faith is defective, failure is with you. Let me explain what I say. The other day, somebody was talking about a big minister of the gospel. Names that if I mentioned, 99% of those here will know. Okay, let's just say 90%. And if everybody wants to find out, if I mention these names, in 10 minutes you will know. Because you just say, you know this man now. Somebody was talking about him. I went somewhere to preach. He said, oh no, my pastor doesn't like that man. He said, he doesn't have his time. And the other fellow said, why? He said, we know his story. That every hotel he comes in, these are women will be going in and out. That they will know now. That's a personal testimony for those who are close to him. One of my sisters, the other day, she went to Port Harcourt to go and deliver. She had a business to do. When she came back, she reported what happened to my wife. It was a pastor of a very big church in Port Harcourt that she went to see because she had to do some business for them. No, okay, I like to quote things. For example, supply them Bibles. It's not Bibles, all right? Something else. Supply them Bibles. So then I said, okay, other papa or bishop or guy, whatever is coming. So the man said he was in a hurry. He told her, enter the car, so let's be talking in the car. Just to talk about money, how do I get paid and all of that. He had a policeman in front. Somebody else was in the car. Apart from him, he was sitting at the back. Somebody was driving. Yes. His guard, police guard was there. So the lady entered the back of a very nice car. I was talking with him. You know what this man spent the time doing? Explaining to this young single lady how well he would take care of her if you just agreed to befriend him. And she thought it was a joke that this man can't be serious. Especially since that policeman is hearing this. The driver is hearing this. So she got a bit uncomfortable. Like, sir, is this a joke? Let's make a long story short. She said, thank you very much, sir, for the offer. But how do I get my money for the goods I'm supplying you people? Finally, well, I forgot they arranged it. She left. So the man called her later and said, okay, he was just testing her to see whether she's a real believer. He said, like, he wasn't testing her. He wasn't. I don't have time to tell you the details. He wasn't. Later on, he called again and said, has she given the thing he said, careful thought? This girl was confused, like, this man, all right. And this is a pastor of a very big church. If you want to know whether you have failed the ministry or not, don't check what is outside, check what is inside. Yeah. When you have become so shameless that you don't even care that the other people in the car know what you are doing. That is, the Bible says their glory is their shame. That is, they brag on what they should be ashamed of. Paul said, I have kept the faith. Like, we don't have all the time. That's why I'm just taking this bit by bit. No matter what you achieve in life, that one must be paramount. This is how you know whether you are serving God or you are not serving God. Check how much you are adhering to what you know to be true. I met a man once somewhere. I saw a book with him, Business by the Book, Larry Bucket. He's a Christian and a businessman. So I said, oh, you know this book? He said, yes. So we're waiting somewhere together. Election, actually. We're waiting to vote. So he said he knew he would have to wait, so he brought somebody to read. And he said, he made a statement, which is why I'm telling you about it. He said, Pastor Banky, I have to read things like this once in a while. Now, let me tell you the kind of man I'm dealing with. His business is in billions. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not hundreds of millions. It's in billions of naira. He's the kind of person that will build this kind of building and it's his own. This one that we are in. He's the kind of person that will build 100 houses for sale. You know that kind of business. Not a small businessman at all. Okay? He's the kind of person that he wants to buy official cars for his staff. He buys them brand new and gives them one. I say, you guys, do your best. Make sure business moves. Are you getting my point? And his official car, brand new. I say, use it for a few years. It's your own. That's that level of business. We are talking billions. Yeah, he said to me, he said, I need to read things like this. The book is Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. You should go and get a copy. He said, I need to read things like this once in a while so that I will know whether I'm still serving God or have begun to serve myself. He said, I need to read things like this occasionally so that I will know that am I following the principles, the precepts of God? Because if I'm not, I'm not adding my own words now. Because if I'm not, no matter what I'm doing outside, I'm not serving God. I'm serving myself. That's why Paul said, I have kept the faith. Bear that one in mind. Your personal character, your life of faith, your morals, everything must be intact. Otherwise, you did not serve God. You served yourself. I'm talking about what success is in ministry. Paul also said, I have finished my course. What was he saying there? And that's the reason why I read this. Each person has an assignment, has something to do in life. Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, those days, they all thought there were only two ministries. You're either a pastor that is sitting down in a church, presiding over an assembly, or you're a roving evangelist. So he didn't know there was a third option. So when the Lord said to him through spiritual manifestations that I never called you to be a pastor to begin with, he said he just assumed that God meant he must be a roving evangelist. So he began to go around making noise, you know, stuff like that. 15 years after he entered into the ministry, 12 years of which he was a pastor of a church or another, the Lord said to him in a vision, because he was a prophet and he used to have open visions. So the Lord said to him one day, after he had been in ministry for 15 years, this was long after, right? The Lord said to him that particular time when you left that last church you were pastoring, that was when you stepped into the first phase of your ministry. Everything you did before that day was zero phase of your ministry. If you had died that time, it wouldn't count that you ever did anything in ministry for me in life. And he had been a pastor for 12 years and a roving evangelist for 3 years. 15 years total. He started very early in life, 18, 19. He was already into pastoring. And the Lord said, until that point, you had not done anything I called you to do. You were doing your own thing. Or you are just keeping busy, because you must understand in life we should keep busy. Why? Paul said, I have a course. That you are not yet stepping into the course that I had for you. Let me just quickly admonish us here. One of the things you must do is read. I like to recommend books. Read Kenny Higgins' books, every type. If it's printed in red, read it. On your computer, read it, if it's Kenny Higgins. I particularly recommend How to Follow God's Plan for Your Life, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, Ministry Gifts, I Believe in Visions. These are different books by Kenneth Hagin, all right? Now, why am I saying all of this? God has a course for each person's life. What is popular in Nigeria of today is that everybody is a pastor of a church. Are you getting my point? It may be the most prominent thing. It's not the only thing. That's what I want to emphasize. There's a difference between a church and a ministry. What is ministry? Remember I said earlier, I don't have time to bring the scriptures bit by bit. So because my time is short, just take my word for it, all right? The Bible says he gave gifts unto men. He gave some, Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Now, for a purpose, for edifying the saints, let me summarize like this, for helping the body of Christ. Each person has something to do to help the body of Christ. All right? That is, they prepare the saints to be able to do what God asks them to do. These are their jobs. But each person has a gift. Paul wrote down one in Romans chapter 12. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Each person has a gift. The deployment of your personal gift to do the assignment of God is what is called ministry. What do I mean? Okay, like I said, let me just use myself as an example. I found out when I was a student that the Lord poured an anointing upon me to teach the word. I didn't know he did, because what I mean is that I didn't understand very well. It was when people began to pass comments, and I noticed that a time came in which if I entered fellowship, in fact, there was a particular period in which things were a bit irregular in school. So we used to plan program like 1 hour before Bible study, before fellowship time. So a lot of times it fell upon me to speak. And I found that I spoke with ease. That's what the Bible calls the measure of faith. That is, I've never, since that time, been terrified. Even if you give me 1 minute notice that I'm preaching, I've never been terrified. I don't care who's in the audience. It's called God dealt to each a measure of faith. It's not my personal thing. It's our sufficiencies of God. That is what God did, was he gave me confidence that once you give me a mic, no be preaching. Do you follow my point? If you say, conduct a wedding, I will prepare for 1 week. Many other things I have to prepare. But if it's preaching, listen, a 1 minute notice is what I need. Give me any topic you like, I will say what I want to say. You know, and we preachers are like that. Any topic you like, give. Say, preach on the second coming of Christ. I don't know when he's coming. Don't worry. I am going to... Maybe it's for you to be blessed. And what the Lord does is that he pours a gift into each one of us and gives us a gift to the body of Christ. So that anytime you stand, no matter what you say, they hear the same thing. I remember those days. I've not listened to Bishop Oedipo in a while, but those days, there's something, if you listen to Bishop Oedipo, you become bold. Let him preach on how to cook groundnut. When you leave that place, there's a boldness with which you will cross the road. That when truck is coming, say the truck, wait. No matter what he preached on. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something here. It's called a measure of faith, the confidence to just attach things. I just attack things. And I said, are you not going to prepare? Let me tell you the truth. I prepare all the time. I'm always reading. I'm always listening to messages. I'm always studying. This morning I had a question. I said, I was praying actually when I remembered the question. So I quickly picked the book of Philippians and began to study some things that Paul said. And I'm not preaching on it. He enters into my bank. So that when the Holy Spirit needs to pull things out, he knows where to find them. Do you get my point? What I'm emphasizing is that measure of faith that he talked about. Please. Open your Bibles to that Romans chapter 12. I need it. I need that Romans chapter 12. Paul said from verse 3. He said, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. In that sense, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace. Grace is ability, so read it properly. We have gifts that differ according to the ability given to us. Let each exercise them accordingly. I'm using the New American Standard, which explains it very well. Let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy... Exercise your prophecy accordingly, according to the proportion of your faith. If service, you are to exercise your gift accordingly, according to the measure of your faith. Are you getting my point? In teaching, do the same thing. Now, because of time, let me stop here. What was Paul saying here? Each person has a gift. That gift must be exercised. The exercise and the use of that gift to build up the body of Christ is what the Bible calls ministry. You hear what I said? That's what ministry is. Ministry is not an organization. Ministry is the servant of God doing the work of God. So you can't say that I want to start ministry but I don't have money yet. It doesn't make any sense. Ministry has nothing to do with registration. One of our brothers wanted to start ministry. When they gave him the bill for registration, I said, oh boy, I told him, now, this is a surprise. I said, register a business name. Because registration of ministry is money, is at least on the average, about 100,000 naira and above. Because the lawyer has to publish, or whoever is doing it, will publish in the papers, two new daily papers. He will file documents. It's a lot of exercise. So I told him simply, but you need some formal, because I'll talk about it later. You need, for example, people want to give you an offering to support your work. He's a teacher of the gospel, all right? I said they will need a place. They won't like to just hand you the cash. Maybe they want to put an account. I said, look proper. I said, so register a business name. Because business name is cheap. You can register a business name for how much? For 10,000 naira. I said, it's not a business, but it's you just need the name. I said, coin the name in such a manner that CAC will accept it. Because I said, the registration is not the ministry. It is you that is talking that's the ministry. So, sometimes people tell me about open doors, open doors. I said, how can you say doors are not open? I said, have you gone to secondary school to offer to teach some boys at the end of class, say, 3 to 4 every day? I want to teach you people how academic success and life victory. And they said, don't come. You can be sure nobody will give you money when you are done. But that's ministry. Let me tell my own story. I run a ministry called Kingdom World Ministries. Kingdom World Ministries is an organization. The ministry is this guy you are looking at here. Anywhere I go, the ministry has gone. The ministry is right now in Warri. The ministry will soon enter a car and go to Enugu. And the ministry will happen this evening in Enugu. Rehan Bonke is a ministry. Are you getting my point? You, sitting down, tap your neighbor, please. Say to your neighbor, you are a ministry. I didn't say you have a ministry. I say you are. They came to John the Baptist. They said, what is your name? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I know one man in Enugu. He changed his name to someone like John the Baptist now. He changed his name to Wilderness Cry. I said, what is your name? Cry in the wilderness. He said, a man is his ministry. Some of us say, why should a man put ministry like Kenneth Hagin ministry? Why should he put his name? Because that is the ministry. It would be wrong to write Kenneth Hagin Church. That would be wrong. But to write that this is banking ministry is correct. Because a man is his ministry. And whether it's registered or not, everybody has a ministry. And the first assignment is make sure, he said, exercise it accordingly. There are all kinds of ministries. I'm going to tell you the story of a man. It interests you. You know why? Ah, so my, Pastor Mark, are you sure that this my time is enough? Let me stay. See this guy. Let me stay. Let's keep preaching. Let's see where we'll stop. Because I shouldn't go without finishing everything I have to say. Somebody will just be praying for me, so I'll know what to do. All right. Now, what was I saying? Yes, this is my yes. I said, there's something I want to say in this life. Don't let money ever dictate what you choose as ministry and what you do as ministry. Please, note that down. I didn't know before I had to tell Christians this, but now I've heard so many things I know I have to tell preachers. Don't let money that will come in ever dictate what you do as ministry or what you choose to do and how you do it or where you do it. There was a time I was traveling to the U.S. for a course. One of my friends, when he heard it, he said, "Are you sure you're going to come back?" This was years ago, not now. He wouldn't say that now. I was going to be gone for about a month, a little over a month, about 6 weeks. He said, "Are you sure you're going to come back?" I said, "My brother, you know now, I have ministry to do." He said, "Ministry is also in America." Oh. I said, "Ministry is not just the preaching. Every minister is sent to some people. So it's not just anywhere you go." I said, "What is the reason I will leave Nigeria and go to America? Just tell me." "There's no reason I see that's ministry justified." I said, "Don't worry, my brother, I'll be back. I can assure you, after 2 weeks, the first 1 week I enjoyed my stay because I was with my friends. Then I went to my work, the course I went to do. After 2 weeks, I was alone, I was bored. I almost ran away." Listen to me, you must never. There are people who leave Warri and go to Lagos. They leave Enugu, go to Lagos. They leave Enugu, they go to Port Harcourt. Why? The offering is bigger there. That is stupidity for a preacher. You were not sent to go and collect offering. You were sent to go and minister. Please, let's get these things very clear. Ministry is as you exercise the gift of God to service people. Let me put it like that. That's what ministry is. As I'm exercising the gift of God to service people. I told you, I'm telling you my story. So I have Kingdom World Ministries in Enugu. How did this start? Kingdom World Ministry was incorporated, that is registered with CAC. Maybe about, how many years ago? I'm not even very sure now. Let me not waste time trying to remember. But long before that, the ministry, the real spiritual ministry behind Kingdom World Ministry was already existing, which was me. Then, before God gave me doors that were opened, I used to preach all the time. To who? To nobody. I would sit in my room and be preaching. It sounds funny, but I'm not joking. I would literally sit down. I said, "What I want to explain this morning is from Genesis chapter 2. And there's nobody there. Then later on, I started writing. I don't know whether we have copies here. I think we do. Choice is key to destiny. I wrote it out of those days of nothing else to do. Then at that time I met my wife and we got engaged. I gave her the book to read. Then when we married, I collected it back and then printed it. Ministry. Ministry is you have a gift. You are exercising it. It has nothing to do with who's recognizing you, who's introducing you. One day one of my friends was doing a show and he was going to, in fact, there's a story I wanted to tell you, I've remembered now, I'll go back to it now. But let me finish this one. So the one young woman who had they were inviting artists, you know, it was a Christian program. I don't know whether it was Christian, but it was a show anyway. So they had big names, you know these big names, let's say Christian, maybe people like Frank Edwards and all of that. So this young woman now went to my friend and said, "Am I going to sing?" So that one said, "You want to sing?" He said, "Yes." And she's a budding artist. She's starting up. So my friend said, "No problem, I'll give you a slot." She now calls, "When are they coming to pick me?" Did you hear what I said? My friend told me later, he said, "This girl, you are not serious at all. You should be grateful we put your name. Do you look like Frank Edwards to yourself?" He said, when are they coming to pick me?" He was telling me, "This girl is not okay." He said, "For you to be grateful, say, 'Thank you, sir, for giving me this your microphone. The Lord bless you, sir. The Lord will increase you.'" He said, "For you to be grateful, say, 'You're now waiting in your house.'" Because you saw cars picking other ministers, other guests, artists. Ministry means God gave me a gift. I'm exercising the gift accordingly. So every opportunity I'm given, I collect. One of my brothers said that he went to preach in another town in Enugu State. So I said, we're just playing about it. I said, "I hope that man settled you very well because you traveled, spent a day, came back." He said, "I should forget that man." He said, "For me, this is what I'm going." He said, "Say person even invite me, self, Oga, I'd be happy." I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, "Say they invited me. I cannot tell you I traveled to go and preach. Ah, praise God. I don't..." That's what ministry is. The opportunity to serve. The opportunity to exercise your gift to help the body of Christ. To help somebody in need. That's what ministry is. Ministry is not recognition. It's not the organization. And God gave each person a gift. There are people that on earth... Okay, you know Paul said something. He said we are many members in the same body, right? If I tell you to name the parts of your body, everybody here will say head, neck, shoulder, just mention things you can see. But if I call a doctor, somebody who did anatomy, who's just an anatomy, name the parts of your body, when the person starts, if I name the ones you can see outside, they'll not go inside. Is that your brain? It's not just brain, there's left hemisphere, right hemisphere of the cerebellum, there's the hypothalamus, it starts breaking it down. And it goes down to your throat, tells you there's pharynx, this ampopharynx, gives you tonsils, and then just be going on and on like that. Then go to your intestine, dissect it into pieces. You know, average person on the road doesn't know what he's talking about. And the Bible says all of them have not the same function, and they're all members of the same body. What does that tell you? Most of us in the body of Christ will not be prominent, will not be known. Some of us will be intestine, kidney, liver, bile duct, pancreas, all kinds of bones inside that you don't see. That means the people that really carry the body of Christ, you don't see them. Wow. The people that keep things standing, they don't talk. They are not on TV, they are not on radio, they are not all this loud mouth like me. We are not the bones. You don't see the bones, you just know that things are working. We are just the skin, the hands, the mouth. The thing that's really moving inside. And we are all members of the same body. The people that are keeping the body of Christ clean, called the liver and the kidneys, you don't see them. They are the ones that pray iniquity out of the life of the pastor. They pray scandal away from the organization. They say we are doing crusade. Have you ever seen Rehan Bonke take offering? You think that thing is free? The bones that keep him standing there, you don't see them.
Yes, sir.
If he says he's going to Nigeria next time, they may say, okay, total budget, $15 million. The boys just write the check, gather the money, they hand it to him. You won't see them from now till tomorrow. But when the man doesn't take offering, don't think that it is just because he doesn't like offering. There are a number of reasons. One, he has principles. Secondly, the offering has been taken. The offering was taken before he came. You know. Some of those of you who have preachers here, please, you can disagree with me when you get home, but right here, listen to what I want to say. Why do you go to crusade and take offering? I think it's funny. Offering is for us, Christians, amongst ourselves. When we gather, we believers, we can harass ourselves for money. Bring money for crusade. Give me that account. I want to use for crusade. Yes, we can fight at home. Wants to go outside. Haba. Shouldn't go to crusade ground. If you will sow 10,000 today for the healing of your children, we don't decrease small. You know? We shouldn't. There are things we should not do, please. I'm begging you. If you know you can't do it, leave the job. If you want to do the job, do it properly. How would you like a surgeon want to operate and he doesn't wash his hand? He said, why? I don't know how to wash hand. He said, okay, if you can't operate, leave me alone. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
If you want to do this job, do it. Don't do it badly. You can't go to a village and pretend today we want to take a somebody actually came to my colleague, said she bring money for crusade. That the returns will be good.
What?
I'm not joking. And one of my other brothers in Enugu said that they know it, that Enugu, they do it in villages. So you invest maybe 50,000 for this crusade, that don't worry, at the end they will get the money back. If you don't want to do this job, don't do it. Back to what I was saying. So you see, most parts of the body, they are not known. This human body you are seeing, which the Bible says we are all members, most vital parts, you don't see them. An average person will live through life not knowing they exist. Yet, are they not functioning? The only reason why you are here, alive and well, is because every part is functioning. Your kidney is functioning. You don't know those things are not there. You don't know they are there until they stop functioning. It's when a man starts becoming sick and sick and sick. They now drag him to hospital. The doctor now checks. He says, sorry, his kidney is not working. Meanwhile, his father lived, did not know he had a kidney. His grandfather didn't know he had a kidney. All the family members, nobody for 5 generations knew they had kidneys. Until this one's kidney began to fail. Then I came to us and said, okay, what is kidney? Okay, have you eaten this suya part? And human beings also have it. This is when you start knowing what kidney is. Yet, when they are functioning, you don't know they are there. I think one of the things we have to teach Christians is for us to take pride in doing the work God asked us to do. It is worldliness for the man that gives money that thinks he should be recognized. In the body of Christ, the people you see the least are those who give the most. No, it's the law of God. Those who supported the ministry, none of them was. Jesus didn't send them out 2 by 2. Go and read the story. When he was sending them 2 by 2, those who were giving money didn't send them 2 by 2. If I'm sending you by 2 by 2, where would the money come from? Go to your work, go to your businesses. Your own job is go there. When you have made the money, bring it. We used to send the other people 2 by 2. That's it. You didn't hear Joanna casting out evil spirits. What's her own problem? When even Judas can do that one, why should she be bothering to cast out evil spirits? They were the ones that the Lord sent. But those who were providing finances, who were also supposed to be faithful in their job, nobody knew they were there. The other day, Pastor Paul came to Enugu, we were just discussing some things. He was explaining something that the people who give the most, and I said that long ago, people were wondering, why do I talk like that? I said, dude, if you see a large church, most of the money you spend won't come from more than 5 people. That's how God did it. That's the order of God. It's a ministry. It's called He That Giveth. Go and read it. Paul said, there is He That Giveth. So he's supposed to exercise himself by giving liberally. He said that of all of those people that I think he personally knows only 1 or 2. And on one of them, if you see the fellow, you wouldn't believe. He said he was rushing for a particular program that guy alone gave 7 million naira for it. But if you see him, you wouldn't know he had 1 million. Just enter church in one small car, just wear a pair of jeans and sit at the back. But God said each person must do what? Exercise. Now, I'm talking to preachers mostly. Listen, it is the gathering, now listen to this, it's the gathering of ministries that is called the church. There's a pastor, there's a prophet, there's a giver, there's he that showeth mercy, if you read that expression of Paul, all of them put together is the church. There's a mistake a lot of us make these days as preachers. We think every ministry must become a church. People have told me many times, when are you starting a church? Listen, churches are good because we must have churches, amen? And actually, it's more of an, if I say this, surprise some people, it's more of an apostolic calling to start a church than a pastoral calling. Those who actually start churches, those are apostolic callings. It's different from, I don't have time to analyze it now. It's different from a pastoral calling. Very different.